Hi, this speaker has been recorded at a meeting of Addictive Eaters Anonymous. For more information, visit our website www.aeainfo.org.
This is the first Friday of the month, and on the first Friday of the month, we have a speaker who tonight happens to be Carla, and she will share with us. And over to you, Carla.
Thanks, Leonie. Kia ora, everyone. My name's Carla and I'm an addictive eater.
Hi, Carla.
I'm very grateful to be at this meeting. Yes. So the first person I talked to from this fellowship of Addictive Eaters Anonymous, what she said was, the words that she said were, "As far back as I can remember, I was fascinated with food." And that was the first time I'd heard someone say something around food that I could completely identify with. Because I just related straight away. As far back as I can remember, I had been fascinated with food as well. When we were having it, how we were having it. You know, I can close my eyes and picture my mother's pantry, you know, how she'd covered the different containers and where the good stuff was. You know, the top shelf was where the top shelf stuff was. And that for me was the biscuits with the pink icing and the hundreds of thousands. And interestingly also, that's where the medicine cabinet was. And I always had a bit of interest in that as well. I remember at a young age just trying stuff. Just I remember trying the inhaler one time and, you know, just trying stuff. It didn't have to be the top shelf stuff if there wasn't top shelf stuff there. I remember when my sisters were born getting into their rusks. You know, they had the rusks that you could chew and, you know, suck and swallow. I remember having, I really liked, we had lambs, grew up in Hamilton, so my dad worked for a farming company, so we would often get lambs that we had to feed, and, you know, I'd love the milk powder, just straight into my mouth, you know, teaspoons of milk powder. And so, yeah, it was definitely, I could, you know, she said what I could relate to. And then the longer I stayed and the longer I still stay, I still hear things that people were saying about their eating or the way they, you know, they ate, or, you know, they'd say things like, once I started, I couldn't stop. I heard, you know, others talking about, you know, the light switch, you know, it was either, I was either dieting or I was eating, and when I was dieting, at some point the switch would go down and I would just start eating again. And I had never heard people talk like that about food. I really related to that food kind of obsession. I wouldn't have known that obsession was the word, but, you know, that constant thinking about food. And then for me, from a very, very young age, that constant thinking about weight. And, you know, just all the, all the embarrassment and all the shame and the guilt that came with being very overweight and obese all my growing up years. I think I went on my first diet when I was about 10 or 11, and that was because I was overweight. There was a need to lose weight. But that just was, it just kept on, that just kept on and kept on until I came here. So every year I could lose 10 or 20, I think up to 30 kilos was the most that I ever lost. But then every year, like I say, when that light switch went off, I would just start eating again and all of that weight would get put on and more. And when I say embarrassment with my weight, like I, you know, when I came here, you know, the things that I thought would get solved in these problems for me were things like, how do you stop chafing in between your thighs in the summer? Like, how do you just stop that rubbing? What do you do about the fact that, you know, I'm very short to go with the very overweight. So what do you do about the fact that to get your safety belt around you, you have to have the car seat back, but then that means that you can't reach the steering wheel? Because that was that's where it got to, and I'm like, you know, kind of trying to reach, but if I had the seat where I needed it to be able to reach, then I couldn't get the safety belt around me. The first time I ever met Clark, my husband, we were at youth group, and I sat on a table and I broke it. Just, you know, that's very humbling, you know. Very kindly, he cleaned it up for me, and he's been cleaning up my mess ever since. I left a bit of a mess this evening. And just all of that stuff. I remember going for a job interview, and because my weight was always going up and down, when I would lose weight, I would buy clothes, and then I would keep on wearing them basically until they broke. And I remember going to a job interview and stepping out of the car and my backside just going and just ripping a beautiful blue woolen suit that I had bought from the shop that Quinn's in Merivale, a long time ago, Quinn's in Merivale, a beautiful blue woolen suit, and my mother had changed the buttons to have silver buttons, and I loved, that was a beautiful suit, and I felt really good in it, and yeah, stepped out of the car and broke the backside, and I had to go into Farmers and buy the only black trousers that could fit me. It was one pair of black trousers that could fit me, and that was all that I could wear. And just all of those things that come with being overweight, but also like not having, like I just could not do anything about it. You know, like the diets, the constant dieting and the constantly losing weight, like I couldn't do it anymore. And by the time I came to these rooms to a 12-step fellowship for food, you know, like I didn't have another Monday in me. That was another thing I heard somebody say in a meeting. She said, I didn't have another Monday in me. And I could just relate to that as well, because Monday was going to be the day that I started. Monday, everything was going to change. This was the diet that was going to do it. And I didn't have it in me anymore. I had nothing. And so that boyfriend became, we were engaged to get married, and a couple of weeks before I came into this fellowship, we were planning our wedding. We were getting married in a year's time, and because I knew I didn't have another diet in me, I had decided that I wasn't going to lose weight. I decided that I would try to start eating healthy, and for me that meant that I was going to stop eating chocolate. That was all I could agree to give up, was the chocolate. At least that'll be a start. I thought, I'm not giving up the ice creams or the lollies or anything else, but I'll give up the chocolate. So that was my New Year's resolution the year before I came here, or, you know, the weeks before I came here. And that night was a terrible New Year's, and I was pacing myself because, for me, I'm addicted to food and to other substances, and same for me with alcohol. Once I start, I can't stop. I had the food, though, but I was pacing myself because there were so many New Years that I never got to see because I started drinking too early. So I had decided that particular night that I wasn't going to start drinking until 11 o'clock at night, because maybe that way I'd have a hope of seeing midnight. That was the plan. But before that, there ended up being some family dramas, and I had to go pick somebody up, and it was all, then they had to go to hospital and blah, 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 and we said Happy New Year's to the ambulance drivers. Drama galore. And I drove on our way back from the hospital. I drove past a service station. It was on the corner of Linwood and Gloucester Street or Worcester Street, somewhere there, and there was a big, big sign that said 3 chocolate bars for $2, which tells you how many decades ago that was. And I stopped because I couldn't not stop. And I bought my 3 chocolate bars for $2, and in my head, in my mind, my New Year's resolution hadn't started yet because I hadn't gone to sleep. It was past midnight, but that was the thing about my eating, is I could always justify my eating, always. And so I walked into my first meeting. I talked to this first woman that, you know, that was free of that obsession, and she talked to me about the disease of addiction. She said that I was bodily and mentally different from my fellows. And she said, she gave me the solution. She talked about those 12 steps. She talked about how to give up the food, just like an alcoholic gives up alcohol. She gave me a way, said what she did to give up the food and to make it as clear for her as it was for alcoholics. And I was just blown away, actually, blown away. Because I was blown away because I thought I might lose some weight. I wasn't actually blown away because I thought there was a solution and I might be able to live free of that obsession. I was just like, ooh, maybe I can lose some weight. And so I just started doing what she was doing. I started going to lots of meetings. This was up in Auckland, so there were lots of people to carry the message to and do 12-step calls. And I just went along with this other young woman. And I remember a week after I'd been into the fellowship, there was another new person at the meeting. And afterwards, just like she'd done with me, we went and talked to her. This person was talking to this new person. And I just sat there and listened. And even a week later, I know that I heard more the second week when she was talking to this other newcomer. And I just remember this newcomer turning to me and she said, "How do you know that this is the right thing to do?" Or something to that effect. She wasn't asking this person who was well. She was asking me after 1 week. And what came out of my mouth was, "I don't know, but I have to, I think I even said the word trust. Like, I have to trust that it's the right thing." Now, I don't think those were my words. You know, I think I at that point, because I don't think I would have actually consciously thought that, but, you know, I think that what I've learned here is I show up and I try and practice those steps to the best of my ability, which includes surrendering. It's a spiritual program. It's a spiritual program. And I hope that by being sober, you know, by not picking up the first one, by going to these meetings and working these steps, that I have a chance to be useful to others, that I have a chance to say something or, you know, by my actions be an example of the power of this fellowship and the power of a higher power, you know, my higher power working and doing for me what I cannot do for myself. It took a long time for me to really get to that point of it just not being about the weight, but about being my whole life, and realizing that really, really getting to that point of understanding that my life is unmanageable by me. But again, very grateful. And really, all I've done is just keep coming back to these meetings. I am very grateful that there is a solution. I love our preamble where it says we get to live meaningful and productive lives, because, you know, I know that I give more than I take. I hope that that is the case, that I give more than I take, because I get given so much. My life is so blessed and so full. But I hope that I can give back, even in just a small measure, and maybe not make things better, although I hope I make things better, at least not make it worse. I just know that the balance would be, I would just be making life miserable for so many people if it wasn't for this way of life. So I might leave it at that, and thank you very much for asking me to share. Thank you.